It was fall 1971. I was 11 years old. 57. You don't have to do the math. The White House was occupied by a wildly unpopular, particularly tricky man. Nixon had advised a political associate, if you can't lie, you'll never go anywhere. Then explained his own penchant for prevarication by asserting, I was not lying. I said things that later on seemed to be untrue. Who could have imagined that some might now actually pine for those earlier times when a comparatively stable president paused from ordering up bombings and break-ins long enough to sit around making recorded slurs with a later remorseful, recently beatified evangelist. At any rate, I had a console turntable in my bedroom. I'd sneak into my sister's room and borrow a massive cream-colored album, 4 full vinyl discs, 8 sides of songs, a recording of a sold-out week of concerts at Carnegie Hall by the band Chicago. This was pre-saccharin, pre-3-minute, 10-second pop Chicago. This was the Chicago of blaring horns, wailing guitars, and long songs with provocative lyrics. In fact, by the time I'd make my way to the final 8th side with a ringing sound in my ears, there was a raging ballad called Song for Richard and His Friends, which was introduced in the concert as kind of a wishful thought about wishing President Nixon would quit. Back on the front side of the first disc, the band opened with a 10-minute plus version of In the Country, transitioned to fancy colors, and then the magic started. Keyboardist Robert Lamb launched into a free-form piano solo that went on for quite some time before first the drums and then the full band joined as they finally broke into now familiar lyrics. As I was walking down the street one day, a man came up to me and asked me what the time was that was on my watch. And I said, does anybody really know what time it is? Does anybody really care? If so, I can't imagine why. We've all got time enough to cry. There was a cynical, subversive message in that song, a berating ballad about being pushed and shoved by people trying to beat a clock. It named the discontent and the disconnection of a generation in that time of terrific social upheaval. Released as a single off the band's second album, it became Chicago's 3rd straight top 10 single and remains an enduring expression of that era, showing up from time to time still in movies and other aspects of popular culture. Now, so many years later, with an even more unpopular, even more immoral man in the White House, a few of us stumble into this room with that same question on our minds. Does anybody really know what time it is? It's a more obvious, understandable question on this particular morning. On Friday, I heard a less than helpful public radio announcer explain that this was the weekend when we set our clocks back an hour. Perhaps that explains where the rest of our friends are. At home, even more confused, wondering who, if anyone, really knows what time it is. It's Time Change Sunday, as my colleague and friend Jane Jebka explains in words you heard read earlier. This is one of the least favorite days for those in my business. We lose an hour of sleep, awake worried that we've still gotten it wrong, appear before a somniferous assemblage, some of whom will use portions of this very time together to begin to gain back precious lost minutes of slumber. I notice. And today, you're forgiven. Today. And for the next few days, many of us will stumble about in a stupor, wondering whether anybody really knows what time it is. Perhaps to some extent, we should be grateful. The sudden interposition of an abrupt change in the time gives us a mighty fine excuse for our grumpy torpor. But what of all those other weeks of the year? Save for that one, months from now, when we will at last have 1 hour redeposited back into the balance of our sleep accounts. What explains our uncertainty about the time when it isn't changing? Or might it be that in a very real sense, the times are always a-changing? There's an old joke that asks, what were Eve's first words to Adam? Honey, I think we're living in a time of change. And thus it has always been. Flux, mutability, transitoriness, impermanence, from at least as far back as that ancient Greek Heraclitus, whose own way of putting it was something to the effect that none of us can step into the same river twice. Our life flows on in endless, perpetual change. You may recall that encounter between Alice and the caterpillar in Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland. The caterpillar and Alice looked at each other for some time in silence. At last, the caterpillar took the hookah out of his mouth and addressed her in a languid, sleepy voice. "Who are you?" said the caterpillar. This was not an encouraging opening for a conversation. Alice replied rather shyly, I hardly know, sir, just at present. At least I know who I was when I got up this morning, but I think I must have been changed several times since then. If not quite that abrupt, we can identify with the confusion because we experience the change in real time. Consider, for example, when I arrived here in 2003, there was no such thing as YouTube. Netflix had not yet started streaming media online. There were no iPhones or Android phones either. Hulu had not yet been launched. Google Docs didn't exist. You couldn't buy an iPad or a Kindle. There was no such thing as Facebook or, thank God, Twitter. No one was wearing a Fitbit or flying their own drone. In that primeval wasteland, many of us numbered our friends in at most the scant dozens. The word like had like a whole other meaning. Stream meant basically the same thing as creek or brook. Character was a virtue, not something that was limited to 140. It was a grim, primitive, largely joyless existence. As I recall, most of us spent what little free time we had sitting in the sand grunting and drawing crude pictures with sticks. For all of my smirking, consider just how drastically different our world is for all of what has changed in the last decade and a half. And good luck if you are trying to guess what the next stretch of time will bring. Today, the time, it is a-changing. Every day, the times, they are a-changing. It is, ironically, the most predictable aspect of life. Young adult writer Jacqueline Woodson expresses it like this: time comes to us slowly, slowly. It sits beside us for a while, then long before we are ready, it moves on. Or, as Jimmy sang it in another of the favorite albums of my youth, castles made of sand slip into the sea eventually. Who of us here today does not understand, in some sense, both Jane Jebka's concern that she has gotten the time wrong and, more poignantly, her desire for, as she says, something I could count on. For all of our acclaim for the journey, for all of our affection for, as we will sing again shortly, the sentiment that I've been sailing all my life now, never harbor or port have I known, who wouldn't like a little something in life that doesn't change, that simply stays the same? Wouldn't we like to carve out some little piece of life where we could, in fact, carve something into stone, something we could count on not to change? Such is not the nature of life. Life is, as May Sarton named it, never still flux and change. Life is, as Amy Clampett named it, a wheel. All that we know that we are made of is motion. To be sure, this congregation is changing because we are consciously trying to make changes. To be sure, we're following a new vision, investing in a less comfortable, less comforting journey. To be sure, we've set our sights not on mere tweaks, but on expansive, comprehensive transformation. But perhaps today is a good time to remember we were always going to change anyway. Things weren't ever going to stay the same because throughout the decades of our existence, they've never stayed the same. Right, Simone? They've never stayed the same. Our wishful thinking notwithstanding, there's never been any time when we've always done it this way. Buddhist Pema Chodron reminds us everything is in process. Everything, every tree, every blade of grass, all the insects, animals, human beings, buildings, the animate and the inanimate is always changing moment to moment. And so it is for us too. Everything about us is in process. Our structure, our self-understanding, our ways of thinking, of singing, of worshiping, of educating, our language, the words that we use or the words that we don't use, all of that is always changing. And it has always been so. Does anybody really know what time it is? I do. Well, at least this much I know. Even as time is changing, it is time to change. Because no matter the times, they are always a-changing.